Okay, here in Galatians 1. Notice what Paul wrote. Let's begin in verse 6. Now, we need to understand everything that is written for us is for our teaching, especially here in the end time, because human nature is the same. Infiltrators are the same. Liars are the same. Corruptors are the same, correct?
Yep.
Yes. Okay. Verse 6. I'm astonished that you are so quickly being turned away from him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Now remember what happened in changing the gospel of repentance and baptism in Jesus Christ as personal Savior to the gospel of give and get. Is that a different gospel? Yes, indeed. What follows a different gospel? Let's read on. Which in reality is not another gospel, because you can't have another gospel. There's only one gospel. But there are some who are troubling you who are desiring to pervert the gospel of Christ. Now notice, verse 8. But if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel to you that's contrary to that which we have preached, let him be accursed. All in capital letters, exclamation point. Now, how many times in the past did we hear the leading apostle, supposedly, read this? And yet he himself fell victim to the same thing. Did he not? Yes, he did. He did. Verse 9, as we've said before, so I also now say again, if anyone is preaching a gospel contrary to what you have received, let him be accursed. Now here's an everlasting lesson. Verse 10, now then, am I striving to please men or God? Or am I motivated to please men? For if I am yet pleasing men, I would not be the servant of Christ. So if you aim to please men, you shall soon not be the servant of Christ. Isn't that true? Yes, indeed. Now, I don't say these things to exalt myself. And I don't say these things to condemn. I say these things so that we can learn. Can we learn? Yes. And these are some of the things that were going through my mind, that I learned, that I experienced, that in translating the New Testament, would I be honest? Would I be faithful? Would it be true? Would I seek to please God or please men? What was it? What was it that I should do? See, obviously, got to do what God wants. Are we not to guard the truth and stand for the truth and preach the truth? Isn't Christ the truth? How could we possibly produce anything to represent Christ if it isn't based on truth and if we're not following the truth and we're seeking the truth? It couldn't be done. If there's something wrong, let me know. I'll change. If there's something wrong, you need to change, be willing to change. Don't be surprised if you find something wrong. We're all incomplete. And, you know, we all need to change, don't we, all the time? Sure, yes, indeed. See? So that's why I did it. And I started out doing study translations. And we started out, I got done going through a series of all the Gospel of John through the King James. And I explained the THs and the ETHs and so forth and what the Greek meant. And when I got done, I said, okay, brethren, we finished this. And it took us 2 years to do the Gospel of John, by the way. I said, well, what should we do? It said, oh, we want to keep studying this way. We're learning so much. So I said, okay. So I said, how about if we go through the general epistles, we'll start with the book of James. And by that time, I was ready to translate. That is after 17 years of studying the Greek. And when I was a loan broker, I'd come home at night and I would study the Greek, memorize. I would talk with Dr. Dorothy at least once a week, and he kept telling me, Fred, translate. And I didn't do it. He kept telling me, translate. So when he finally came down with cancer, and he came down with cancer because of the way that he was treated in Worldwide Church of God, he was one of the sweetest, nicest, kindest men you would ever want to meet. And he was bulldozed and tattooed and run over and condemned. And his wife left him. He finally moved up to Seattle. So I talked to him on the phone. He'd say, Fred, translate. memorize the Greek, translate, go through all the Greek, go through all of the verbs, go through all the participles, know it forward and backward as much as you can. And so he was, at that point, getting very sick, so I started to translate. I'd send him copies of what I translate. He'd give his comments and send it back to me. So that's how I began to translate. I had absolutely no thought of doing the whole New Testament. But gradually things developed, and I told you about the inclusive version and what happened when I saw that. And so got done with the New Testament, published that. We did all of the commentary and everything. So then, as I mentioned, encouraged to do the Old Testament and hooked up with Michael Heiss to get all of that done. Okay. Now, let's come back to 2 Timothy, the third chapter. And so we'll pick up on the Word of God here. And this is true. And, of course, in doing the translating and things, praying all the time, you know, has to be the truth. If it isn't the truth, what am I doing it, huh? And if it's the truth, then it's not me. And if God wants me to do it, then it's not me. That true? I may be an instrument in his hands, and if it's going to help the brethren and encourage them so that they can grow in grace and knowledge, that's the whole purpose of it, right? Yes. So here, this describes today's world here, verse 13. But wicked men and imposters shall become worse and worse. That's what the new NIV is all about. Deceiving others and being deceived themselves. But as for you, Timothy, continue in the things that you have learned and were assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, that from a child. So he grew up, as it were, we could say today, you know, I've had people come up to me and say, well, I grew up in the church. And then their various stories go whichever way they go. So here they are, okay? And that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, the holy writings are what? The Old Testament. But through Christ it can make us wise unto salvation. That not correct? Plus then we have the New Testament on top of that, right? Now notice, here's what all Scripture is. So when we go into the Scripture, whether the Hebrew or the Greek, and we want to make it clearer for the brethren or clearer for anyone who would read, and I had no idea of selling the Bible. I was going to have it for the brethren. I'll tell you about that in just a little bit here. All Scripture is God-breathed, and that could actually be God-spirited. Holy men of old, as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. See? God-breathed, and is profitable for doctrine, for conviction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work. Now let's go back and look at all Scripture. All Scripture means each and every one, even those genealogies that you can barely pronounce the word name for name as you read through the chronology, and if you're tired, your eyes go click. Those are all inspired of God because those are legal documents defining the line down to Christ. That amazing? Do you want legal documents written in truth? Who is the lawgiver? God is. Then he has to have a legal document showing that the one who came and was Christ was the one that was prophesied beginning back there in Genesis 3:15, and then down through the law and down through the prophets and down through the Psalms. And now, here he was in the flesh. Okay? So that's something. Oh, yeah, thank you. Okay. Now, let me tell you something else that began back in 1991 with Dr. Ernest Martin and Robert Kuhn and Joe Tabor. How many have read Ernest Martin's book, Restoring the Original Bible? Okay? Some of his other works. Well, they started a website, and Bob Ellsworth was the one who managed the website, and Joe Tabor was going to do a translation of the Bible beginning with the book of Genesis. Okay? How many remember something about the Bible project that they had back then? Okay? Now, Joe Tabor never got further than the book of Genesis. And since Bob Ellsworth was one of my friends, if I would go down to Pasadena, I would stay at his place, and guess where his condominium is? Right on South Orange Grove Avenue, right across from the Loma D. Armstrong Study Center, okay, where the fountains are. And on the third floor, you can look right across and see it. So I would stay with him. And then I told him I was going to do the New Testament. So when we got the New Testament done in its original order, he got one of those and sent it off to Joe Tabor and sent it off to Robert Kuhn. Okay, whatever. But they were collecting donations because different people, not only brethren, but different people in the world, wanted to see that project done to have the Bible in its original order. And they were collecting $100,000 a year, and very little was being done. So I told Robert, when we were making progress on the Old Testament, that we were going to do a Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, I said, Bob, I said, the way people are so crazy today, you better be careful, because you've been taking in $100,000 a year for over 10 years, and all you have to show for it are letters of intent that Joe Tabor has written and a translation of Genesis. So I said, you might consider not being the one to run the website and take care of the collection of donations, just in case. So shortly after that, he changed. And then someone came along and said, well, Fred, why don't you try and sell the Bible? And this is how I first got in touch with the Washington Times. And that was Leon Ritchie. So I said, I know John, the advertising man back there, because I know him. He can give you a good rate. So I said, okay, so we ran an ad. And I thought, well, now how are we going to do credit cards? We're not set up for doing credit cards. So I talked to Bob. Found out he had the whole thing set up to do credit cards. So I said, okay, Bob, I'm going to run the ad in the Washington Times, and then there were a couple of other ones that we ran it in. And if you could process the credit cards, we'll give you $10 for each one you process. You don't have to do anything. Well, the orders came in, and he thought, man, I know how to do this better than what we're doing. So he said, hey, Fred, I can do the advertising. I'll pay for the advertising, and I know how to get in all of these magazines and these books, and we'll advertise the Bible. And that's how the Bible got to be selling, and he was selling the Holy Bible in its original order, done by us, though he started the original project in 1991 with Ernest Martin, who subsequently died, Joe Tabor, who's still over in Israel, and Robert Kuhn, who is a banker in New York. So he's been involved in the project for over 20 years. So he's the one who's selling the Bible. And we're getting good results with it. Of course, with the economic situation, it's not going quite as good as it was going. But we hope that it's going to pick up, and we hope now that with some of the things like the new NIV that's coming out, that now the Holy Bible in its original order will become of more value to more people. And the whole object is to have it so that people can understand the Word of God. Okay? Now, the money that comes in, he gets it wholesale to do the leather Bibles. Lambskin cost us $26 for the completed one. We sell it to Bob for $36. Okay? Money that comes in from there, we have a $10 profit plus a return of cost, and we save that up and put in savings. And right now, we've got, combined with everything that we have, even after doing a second edition of the paperback, we just had 6,000 done with the paperback. And even with that, we paid what did we pay? We paid $77,000 for $6,000, okay? And we do everything by cash. We have no loans. We don't owe anybody. We operate strictly on cash. The money that comes in from sales of the Bible, we use that to buy other books. We use that to put into savings. And so far this year, out of the savings, we have done the Judaism book, which cost us $19,000, and we just did the Lord, What Should I Do book, which cost us $19,000. And so that's how we use the money. Today, with the internet, I think we're going to see a speed up of the process because of the events in the world, number one, and number two, I don't know how many people tell me, well, I've gone online and I have downloaded everything you have. I met a man over in Seattle, I think I mentioned it, that he works as security for Microsoft, and he downloads everything on memory chips and plays them while he's driving around at night securing Microsoft. Okay? So we have that, and we have church at home. And people say, because there are so many things out there to deceive people, that people now want to prove things. They don't just want to hear things and run and jump. They want to prove, they want to look, they want to do all these other things. I had one man, he said that he checked out every church of God. Did he? Yeah. Every church of God. And so he was baptized here this last spring, see? Okay, so he said, I went to United, I went to Restored, I went to Philadelphia, I went to whatever other fellowship there was, any church of God online. And my question was, do they follow the Bible? How about the one who's in charge? Is he an idol or someone who is teaching? They can do that today. And it's really something. People come up and say, well, you know, I've been 3 years checking you out online. Oh, really? You know, of course, we don't know who's going online. But last year, combined, as you saw with the report that I sent out with the letter in February, 617,000 distinct visitors on the Spanish, the CBCG, a church at home, and then we've taken all the past videos, converted them, and put them online. All the past videos that I've done. So anyway, that lets you know the idea and the thoughts behind what we are doing. And brethren, I know this, and we all ought to know this and keep praying for it every day. Oh, God, and I have a wonderful wife who will not let me get lifted up in vanity. Trust me. She will not. See, because it takes a pretty independent-minded woman to live with me. See, because I'm not the easiest one to live with. Okay? We got to keep in mind always, we live and move and have our being in Christ, okay? Whatever we do, we've got to be led and motivated by the Spirit of God, whatever it is. And if you pray about that, and if you do that, and I know that you're all praying for me all the time, and all those prayers help me a great deal. And it humbles me a great deal. Because I remember when we were alone, nothing, no income, no job, 49 years old, 4 children and a wife, no severance, no retirement, no savings. And God has seen us through it all. Been tough. So those are the things behind what I do. And if I do it, it's got to be Christ in me, not what I think, not what I want. And I better be yielded to God every day. Pray every day. Study every day. Take care of the tithes and offerings that come in. Use them. Maximize them. Multiply them. See, right now we want to fill all of our storage booths, we have 10 of them, with books and Bibles before inflation goes out of sight. So we haven't paid for. Okay? And if there's a depression, then we don't have to worry about where we're going to get the money to do them because we have them. So that's what we're going to do. And I'm sure that's what all of you would want us to do, right? So that's why we need to learn the lessons of the past. Not in anger or bitterness or resentment. It's over with. God has dealt with them. But to understand as warnings, do not do this, but keep going toward Christ all the time. Okay, well, I've kept you here long enough and over time, but you can't say you weren't fed. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.